You're listening to the Dow for All Seasons with the one and only Coupon, NDB Media Sports.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Gal for All Seasons podcast here on NDB Media Sports Network and Blog Talk Radio. I am your Gal for All Seasons, Taryn Cooper. Please call me the Coop. How are you? It's been a while since we've been here. We've got a jam-packed show tonight. Hope you won't be disappointed. We've got baseball for the most part, and there's going to be some football at the end. Anyone is on the show tonight, I'm just going to jump right in. I'll be joined later by my friend Sully from Sully Baseball and Jake Stevens from There It Is, Jake. My first guest tonight is here to engage in some group therapy. I hope that we can all get through this all together. His Washington Nationals had an amazing run this season that had its untimely ending last week. Sigh. I was rooting for them. I was. I've become friends with so many amazing National fans this year, including this guest. Please help me welcome Dave Nichols from the District Sports page.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey.
It's nice to know that we've got so much support within the division, even though we came up short this year.
You know, it's funny. I said at the beginning of the season that I knew that the Nationals were actually going to be a very good team. But like many, probably unfairly, I did the same in the AL East, too, because nobody knew that the Orioles were going to do as well as they did, too. But, you know, I said probably that until the Phillies give me a good reason not to believe it, that I had them for the division. Lo and behold, they fall apart, and the Nationals just took off like gangbusters. So I just want to extend my condolences. I've certainly been on the side, especially as unfairly as it seems, getting beaten by the Cardinals. I know that all too well in a decisive game. But I truly believed, like you and the rest of, your Nats family, that this team would have gone far into October. But I'm also here to tell you that it gets better.
hopefully, with time, the sting of the loss and the way that it happened, hopefully with time that it'll pass. You know, it's not the fact that they lost. You know, it's the way that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out to such a big start early on, and then being just one strike away, five different pitches, and all five of them ending up as balls, and then. And then that bottom of the order with Descalzo and Cosmo, we just couldn't seem to get those guys out at the bottom whenever we needed to this series. And just sat in stunned, utter disbelief there for, the top of the ninth inning, just staring at ourselves wondering, what the hell's happening here.
I hear that. I nobody gets that more than me. And, it's funny because your Nationals manager, Davey Johnson, was technically on the other end of that, and I was talking about my guest. One of my guests tonight is my friend Jake Stevens. We're both big Mets fans. We'll be talking football later on, but he and I were actually chatting on Twitter that back in 1986, Davey Johnson was actually on Mike Matheny's end, seeing his team come back. From a deficit in the late innings. Of course, that was Game 6 of 1986. But when he was on the other side of, the late inning rally by the opposition. But, and this is something that I brought up, and I'm just going to throw it out there with you. Davey Johnson has a reputation of being a real player's manager, the type of guy that's going to go allow his players to just duke it out on the field and, trust his guys rather than, be like a Joe Girardi where I swear he did six pitching changes in, a third of an inning in one of the games that I just watched recently. But do you feel like, that reputation might have actually bit him in the ass in that instance?
You mean by sticking with Storm there or just in?
Yeah. I mean, there's that. And, maybe just kind of being a little too relaxed at the controls. I mean, it can happen to the best of us, but, I just wanted to see somebody that has watched him this entire season.
Sure. I think Davey did a really nice job this season with everybody. You know, it was you know, we had a lot of injuries, so there was a little bit of juggling, and he got some younger players playing time early in the season that might not necessarily have gotten that type of more. And Steve Lombardo's and even Roger Bertanita, I think, was able to put these guys in good positions to have success. And then with the veteran players, you know, once they got healthy, they got their jobs back. He stuck with them. We saw during the playoffs that, you know, even though a couple of players, Danny Espinosa struggled mightily, he was 1-for-15 with 7 strikeouts, but Davey stuck with them. You know, Kurt Suzuki struggled at the bat a little bit, you know, and stuck with him. Even Adam LaRoche, who was his team's MVP this season, didn't particularly have a great playoffs. But, you know, Davey stuck by his players, and I think that's why he gets the mantle of player manager. That game five, I think, the two questionable decisions there was bringing Edwin Jackson in the 7th inning, you know, trying to catch lightning in a bottle 2 nights in a row, bringing in a starter for that 7th inning. And then with Drew Storen in the 9th inning, after the 2 walks, do you allow him to face those 2 batters at the bottom of the inning? Even then, he had a chance to walk Cosma and face most likely the backup catcher, the last player on the bench. Stuck with him, let him pitch to Cosma, and Cosma beat him. So, you know, those are the two situations where maybe, you know, Davey stuck with, you know, quote-unquote, his guy a little bit longer than maybe he could have. But, again, you know, for most of the season, all these players have said, you know, we'll run through a wall for Davey. He's our guy. And at that point, you do or die with how you manage the team all year. And I'll give Davey the biggest credit for that. In the playoffs, he managed his team just like he did during the regular season.
Right, right. You know, there's always going to be some kind of second guessing, and I definitely agree with that. That Davey does have that great reputation that he holds his cards close to his chest. And he does trust his players, and that's, you know, I think that's something, you know, really to be admired in this day and age, because I think, you know, like I said before, I was watching, I think, I'm guessing it was Yankees Tiger. I don't remember if it was this series or if it was the last series, but it could be any game, any time that I hear Yankees fans consistently complaining about, you know, someone like a Girardi who makes like 8 million pitching changes in one inning. So, you know what, I think, you know, sometimes shit happens, and I'm just going to say that. And sometimes bad things happen to good teams. And you know what, that's just the way that the turd curls. And you know what, honestly, I really felt for you guys. I'm not one of those Cardinals haters per se, but I'm just a little sick of them getting to the big dance every year.
Yeah, you look at that roster and you know, you look at it and you just wonder, you know, these guys keep coming back. And, yeah, they've got some good guys on there with, you know, Holiday and Beltran and, you know, David Freese is a pretty decent player. But, you know, you look up and down and they don't have a whole lot of all-stars there. And then, you know, the pitching staff, they seem like they have another potential Cy Young guy out every year with a Tommy John surgery, but yet they come right back and pick it right back up. So I guess in that regard, it's you know, maybe you know, good omen for things in the future when the Nats, you know, have Strasburg back full time next year.
Right, right. Well, you know, that actually leads into the next segue. And you know, I had retweeted very powerful piece that you wrote that was from the heart the day after I had talked to your wife on Twitter, who admitted that she had been crying. I mean, being a sports fan, there's so much heartbreak involved. And, you know, I confided that when the Rangers were eliminated by the Devils, that was just, I mean, the waterworks for me. But you wrote a very honest piece, which does say that, you know, you are a fan blogger. You write from an objective point of view, but at the root of it all, you are a fan blogger. And you wrote about just how this is going to sting for a while, but that, you know, that you had really deluded yourself into thinking things were okay after the shutdown. And I wanted you to expand upon that for the audience in case they didn't read that article.
Well, you know, essentially, and this goes back to a conversation that I said, you know, that I wrote about in the piece. I had a conversation with some very close friends of mine who happen to all be Phillies fans, and they were giving me a hard time about the shutdown. And I'm still convinced that it was the right thing to do, but I also convinced myself that, you know, that I didn't necessarily care about what happened to the Nats this year. That you know, that them making the playoffs this year was gravy as far as I was concerned. You know, I did a pretty hard statistical analytical look at the beginning of the season, and I only had them projected at about 84 or 85 wins. So, you know, they really outperformed what my projection was. And granted, I had a very conservative projection, but you know, I think most people would say that they outperformed, you know, any projections by, you know, at least 6 or 7 games, if not, you know, 10 or 12. So, you know, winning the NL East, making the playoffs, you know, this was all a success in my head. But, you know, getting to game 5 there and you know, seeing how things went down and the manner they went down and the quickness, it just, you know, it really struck me hard. You know, like I said, I was dumbfounded. At a loss for words, I was sitting there with the other, you know, the other independent media that, you know, we have full-time season credentials, but just with such, you know, such an influx of national media and local media to cover the games, we kind of got set aside in overflow seating in the press box. So we were sitting there by ourselves and just, you know, just looking at each other, and nobody had to say anything. I mean, just the utter look of despair from the three of us was just really something. And it surprised me how much, you know, how much I felt it, you know. And it wasn't anger. It was just an ultimate sadness. I mean, here we had, you know, the next round of the playoffs in front of us. I don't think the Nationals particularly played very well in that series, but yet there we were in game 5 with a 6-0 lead. Going into the 9th inning, we had a 2-run lead, and then just to see it all evaporate like that really hit hard.
Right. You know, and that was something that I really identified with, just being a fan, especially probably with the teams that I root for too. That was something that I really identified with. Like I said, I wasn't remiss in saying that. You know, I was rooting for the Nationals. I mean, as an NL East person, people probably thought I was a little bit crazy, but I guess I was just happy that the Phillies weren't in.
Right.
And I know so many, you know, a lot of the people on the Nationals team I actually like. So I really admire that candor from you. But, you know, we're going to wrap up here in a few seconds. But, you know, we have, you know, the Nationals had an amazing 2012. Like you said, anything was just gravy, and they went to the ALDS. That's, you know, considering what we thought at the beginning of the season, that could be seen as a major victory. But, you know, what do you think they have to expand upon going into 2013 to make that a memorable season?
Well, I still think that they need a legitimate top-of-the-order leadoff hitter. Jason Worth did a really good job at it this year, and I think he would be just a tremendous number 2 hitter in this lineup. But I'd really like to see them go out and make a major play for Michael Bourne as a free agent in center field. That would allow Worth to go to left and Harper to go to right, maybe make Morse a trade piece or move him into first base if they don't re-sign Adam LaRoche. They've got plenty of power. They need another table setter up at the top, and I think that, you know, Bourne with his lifetime 370 or so on-base percentage in front of Worth at a, you know, 360, 370 clip on-base percentage in front of guys like Zimmerman, Morse or LaRoche, Harper, you know, Desmond, who had a breakout year this year. I think that would really go a long way into making this team a better team, both offensively and defensively, you know. Harper did a tremendous job as a 19-year-old playing center field for the first time in his career, but he's not a center fielder. He's going to be much more valuable to this team in a corner outfield slot. I think he's going to grow out of the position in center field. I think he's probably got another 20 pounds to put on his frame. So that leadoff hitter is what I'd like to go out and address this year.
Okay. Well, you know what? From somebody on the outside looking in, I say that the Nationals have a very bright future. You guys have been awesome, you know, with your support from day one. I'm so happy that I met you and your wife, even though it was all virtual. And, you know, I wish you guys the best of luck next year. And chin up, it gets better. I can tell you that. Although, technically, the Mets haven't gotten better. They haven't quite gotten over Carlos Beltran looking at strike 3. But then again, Carlos Beltran seems to have, so I don't know what to make of that. So, Dave, tell everybody where they can find you online and the Twitterverse. Go for it.
Well, we're at www.districtsportspage.com. And you can find us. We've got several Twitter handles, but Dave Nichols, DSP, Nationals, DSP, and then we've got one for each of the five major teams here in town. So that we're pretty easy to find, and we're on Facebook as well at District Sports Page.
All right, great. Well, thanks again for coming on. I know it was kind of short notice. I just asked you yesterday, but you're always a great guest, and you're welcome on anytime.
Thanks, Coop. Hope to talk to you spring training time.
Okay. Take care, man.
You too.
And that was Dave Nichols from the District Sports Page. And you are listening to the Gal for All Seasons podcast here on NDB Media Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio. My next guest really has no introduction at all, but I'll just give him a minor intro anyway, is my podcast buddy, Gal for All Seasons regular, Sully from Sully Baseball.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I can't help but wonder, as I'm watching, it's in rain delay right now, the Giants are losing to the Cardinals, and I just can't stand the Cardinals, the classic B-minus student who aces the final exam. you know, I just can't deal with it anymore. You know, once, if they did it in 2006, and like, okay, you know, underachieved the regular season, overachieved the postseason, all right. Same thing last year. All right, fine. La Russa goes out of camp. I'm sick of this. We need new champs. You know, everyone talks about the Yankees win every year. No, it's the Cardinals. Sick of the Cardinals. I'm sick of a bunch of guys. You look at all. You know, it's like, what's the minimum that we have to do? Literally, the minimum we have to do to get in. And this year, it's like, well, we're going to give you another wild card team. Oh, that means we could even do a little less. We don't have to be the best second. We could be the second best second place team. Oh, okay. And you know, and all these teams that face the Cardinals, they all have this expression on their face that the Washington National fans had last weekend. But it's that expression of what the hell just happened? They realized they got conned. I don't know if you remember the sting, but when the guy is conned right at the beginning of the sting, when Redford and the other guys swiped his wallet, and he opens up and he realizes his wallet's gone and all of his money's gone. He has this expression on his face like, oh, my God. That's the expression that all these teams have. Like, how did I get swindled?
Now, I got to say one thing here,
and I'm sorry, Coop, but I'm worked up about this. The elephant in the room, you just had a lovely conversation about the Nationals loss, and I was rooting hard for the Nationals. And it was so heartbreaking that my wife, who doesn't follow baseball, was watching that inning with me because we paused Shark Tank. And I said, honey, it's the ninth inning. I got to see the ninth inning. I was listening to it. And it was so heartbreaking that even my wife, who is not a baseball fan at all, said, oh, dear. You know, it was heartbreak that transcended even someone who wasn't a fan. And here's the elephant in the room. And I'm sorry to bring this up because you just had a lovely conversation with a very passionate fan. And I had all these people saying, both on Twitter and writing to my blog, sullybaseball.blogspot.com, say, you know, it didn't matter that they didn't pitch Strasburg. It didn't matter. That really didn't affect the series. And I'm like, no, it did. And you can point to that exact moment that they lost the series. And here's why. Why did they lose that series? Was it because of the ninth inning? No. That's not why they lost the series. They lost the series because four of the five games that they played, the pitching sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the stats. Gio Gonzalez sucked his two games. Zimmerman sucked his start. Jackson sucked his start. That's four suck starts. Four out of five suck starts, including your supposed Cy Young contender who couldn't get through six innings. Handing a six-run lead, you should be able to survive that. And you get to the end, and that means that each of those games you're going to a bullpen early. You're bringing in relievers before you want to in any of those games. And so, you know, Clippers pitch in all these games. Storen's pitching all these games. I don't blame them. They're gassed. They don't have a single guy who'd lock it down except for Ross Detweiler in the game that Worth hit the home run in. And to come up and say, when you have 4 out of 5 of your starts sucked, and then to come around and say, well, you know, not using one of your best starting pitchers, it wouldn't really have affected the series. Are you high? Are you crazy? Do you understand baseball? Do I need to explain how the game is played to you? They made the decision. The arrogance of this. There's a great Far Side cartoon that I kept thinking of. And it's all these guys in the middle of the desert, like they've obviously been crawling over sand dunes in the desert, and they get to a water fountain. And the guy in front turns the water fountain on and says, I'm going to let it run a little so it gets cold. You know, as they're all dying of thirst. That was the Nationals. After decades of irrelevance, this franchise that hadn't been in a postseason series since Charles and Diana were newlyweds and haven't seen a playoff, or City hasn't seen a playoff series since 1933, and they're taking the arrogance of, you know, we're going to do this a lot. We're going to be here
right.
a lot.
Right.
And that's what it is. It's the arrogance of, no. And then 2012, yeah. We're going to be here. We're going to be like the Braves. We're going to be here a long time. And that doesn't always work that way. Look at the 2006 Mets.
Yeah. No, you're preaching to the Pope over here. Yeah.
This could be that perfect storm of events that the Marlins and the Phillies both happen to suck at the same time, and the Braves just happen to stub their toe, that they just happen to sneak in there and win a division that everyone thought they were going to win 84, 85 games. No one was expecting a 98-win season from this team.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Cardinals beat the Phillies last season, you know, Phillies fans were angry, but they couldn't walk away frustrated because the Cardinals weren't fair and square. Cardinals beat Halliday. Cardinals beat Lee. Cardinals beat Oswalt. They beat Halliday 1-0 on their own field. And so they could walk away saying, we played our best. We did our best. Washington Nationals fans could walk away going, our starting pitching sucked, and we didn't use one of our best pitchers. I mean, and there could have been ways. I mean, what's his name from Medlin, Chris Medlin of Atlanta? He had Tommy John surgery. He was coming back. They brought him back bit by bit, and he was ready to pitch the wild card game. So to say that Strasburg not pitching didn't have an effect that's an incorrect statement, and that's not even an opinion. That is a fact that I can prove in a court of law. In front of a jury of my peers.
So, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play? Look, you know what? Everything that you're saying, you know, I've definitely felt. You know, and I had Dave on a couple weeks ago, and we talked very matter-of-factly about the shutdown, as they call it, down in the district. And I kind of saw it like you did, that, you know what, like, we're expecting more from this team in the future. And, you know, but it goes to show that you don't know when you're going to get that again. And nobody knows that more than I do as a Mets fan. When you looked at 2006, and, you know, and again, I agree with you. It never truly, you know, we can all talk to a blue in the face. It's a decisive game. We've got, you know, game 5 in the divisional series, game 7 in the championship series and the World Series. The fact of the matter is, the reason that there's a decisive game is because none of the other games were decisive. It never comes down to that one last out. There's always something. Like in 2006 for me in the NLCS, it wasn't Carlos Beltran to me, and I know Mets fans get angry at me. Carlos Beltran was the MVP of that series. It wasn't him. It was Jose Valentin. Shut up.
Delgado had a great series.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Without the two of them, you know, you can't throw Carlos Beltran under the bus for that one at bat. I'm sorry, you just can't. You know, are people going to feel better if he swung and missed? No, they're not going to feel better. They're going to be like, holy shit, we lost. either way. So, you know what, the reason they lost that game was after the ending catch. They had the bases loaded the next inning,
right.
And they couldn't
right.
score. And it wasn't just that. You could go back to game two and wax intellectual that the whole series changed on a dime there. So, you know, I'm getting worked up now. But that's, you know, where I kind of come in and say, you know what, it wasn't about that last inning. You know, it
no.
wasn't, you know, you absolutely said it. You said Storen was gas. Their pitching was gas. They were, you know, they had to shut down their best starter when it realistically could have, you know, really made the impact on that series. So I definitely agree to some extent. I mean, it doesn't make it any less sad for me. I know many Nationals fans. I know Dave. I know his wife. I know a couple others that I've happened to meet, and I love them dearly. You know, they come to Citi Field, and they overrun my park, but I really don't care because I like them as people. And,
yeah.
You know, it just goes to show that, you know, I mean, that's Chinatown, Sully. That's Coop.
here are two things I want to bring up, and then I'm guessing you want to get my thoughts on the Yankees, too. But the two
of course.
First of all, Wainwright and Beltran are teammates now. I'm saying,
Yeah.
And I wonder how often Wainwright comes up to Beltran and says, "Hey, buddy, thanks for not swinging. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. If you had swung, we all know it would have been a basic clearing double, and I would have been the asshole who couldn't close out the pennant. So, dude, I owe you a beer for not taking a swing at that." Or does he taunt them with it? "Hey, Beltran, look at my World Series ring. You like it? Where's yours?" "Oh, yeah. Can't beat him, join him, I guess. Come on, Beltran, get over here. Get over here, you big lug. We beat you in 04. We beat you in 06. Welcome to the team." But the other thing is, of course, Rizzo, the general manager of the Nationals, he can redeem himself. This whole thing could be redeemed for him. But it has to be a world championship, and it has to be a world championship with Strasburg pitching on it. I mean, anything
mm-hmm. –
that's the bar. This is a franchise that has never won a pennant. And the city of Washington hasn't won a World Series since 1924. And yet the general manager, because of this decision, has made it, if he doesn't win a World Championship, he has failed because he gambled this season to win one later. You know, he caught a
mm-hmm.
great fish, and he said, "Now let's throw it back and we can get a bigger fish." And so that, to me, is he has put himself in a situation where it is, if he doesn't win a World Series with the Nationals, everyone, and as well they should point to 2012. And the reason why I went to the 2011 Phillies was because, yeah, that team lost to the Cardinals in five as well, but they put their best team on the field.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the Nationals didn't. Speaking
right.
of best team on the field, let's talk American League.
Yes, please. Let's do it. You know, we only have a few more minutes left, but, you know, you talked, you know, the other day about how, you know, how just horrible the Yankees fan base has been during this whole thing, that they're not winning by enough, that they're like the rich
yeah.
kid who complains that he only got one pony, not two, for his birthday. So, you know what, why don't you just go off on one of your, you know, patented Sully diatribes on the Yankees?
Well, I mean, the Yankees lineup have all been possessed by Jason Bay. We've been watching this team, and Jason Bay has taken over all their bodies there. I swear, you spot me two strikes, and I could strike out seven of these Yankees on the mound with my 50-mile-an-hour fastball. It is startling to see how badly they've been hitting. That being said, hearing Yankee fans complain about this team, as I wrote to Lisa Swan, it's like of Subway Squawkers, it's like, okay, let me get this straight. You were the best team in the American League. You won your division. You had home field advantage and won a thrilling division series, and are in the American League Championship Series. I mean, when can Yankee fans get a break? I mean, how much more suffering can they go through? You know, you're in the ALCS. You know, I'm sure Nationals fans are crying for them right now. I mean, I'm sure Braves fans, I'm sure most teams, 26 teams, don't get to the League Championship Series. And the Yankees did. So So by definition, they had a good year. But this is that nonsensical, if they don't win the World Series, they're a failure nonsense. Because they're not the best team in baseball this year, not by a long shot. And
right.
the fact that they're, you know, Sabathia is pitching tonight, you know, if they win tonight, and they have a, and Verlander won't be ready until Game 7, if they have a shot, it's theoretically possible. They're not going to win it, but do you know what? Any other fan base gets to the league championship series, they're like, hey, we had a good year. We had a good season. And they're, and this team, you know, the fan base is talking like they're a last place team. And
yeah.
And that can't be fun after a while. That really can't be. You know, they've only won one world championship since 2000. And most franchises would be happy with that.
Yeah.
In most cities, A-Rod would be a god and be given slack because he won two MVPs as a Yankee and led them to the World Championship in 2009 where he was their best player. But in New York, he's a big jerk because he's only won one. Which, by the way, is all Steve. Which is all Seaver ever won. It's all Seaver ever won. That's all Messier ever won.
Nolan Ryan only won one championship.
Strahan only won one in New York.
Yep.
You know, all these great New York beloved figures, you know, A-Rod's matched them.
Yeah.
Hey, Donnie Baseball, Patrick Ewing never delivered, you know? But no, A-Rod's a big jerk because he's only gave him one.
Yeah,
yeah, now they're talking about trading him. But you know what? I don't know if the Dodgers can take that much more money. What team is stupid enough to take that absurd contract? But this is the end for the Yankees. It really is in many ways. Because
right.
the core is, I mean, if there was ever a symbolism for, you know, for franchises falling down, it was Carl Crawford falling on his face as they lost the 2011 season. It was Ryan Howard crumbling to the ground as the Philly season ended last year, and it's Derek Jeter collapsed on the ground in this NLCS. There's a good chance that the best Northeast team next year could be the Mets.
Here's hoping. All right,
yeah.
Sully, you've been great as usual. I'm sorry that I have to cut you short here, but I have my last segment wrap up. But give us all where we can find you. We'll wrap it up.
Go to sullybaseball.blogspot.com. Go to YouTube, type in Sully Baseball. Go to Bleacher Report, type in Paul Francis Sullivan. And I'm working on a new venture that will change baseball forever, coming out in a few weeks.
Oh, okay.
I will change baseball forever with what
right.
is coming out in a few weeks. That's my teaser. So check
okay.
out sullybaseball.blogspot.com.
All right, very good. And just remember your gal Coop.
Oh, you know.
Your corner.
You know. Absolutely. You're on my side, Coop. We're gonna change the game together.
All right, very good. Thanks, Sully.
Jackie.
Bye. And a great guest as usual. That was Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully from Sully Baseball. You're listening to the Gal for All Seasons podcast and Blog Talk Radio on the NDB Media Sports Network. Sorry that I had to have him wait in the queue for a little bit, but, you know, last but certainly not least. I'm actually trying something new here, so just bear with me for a second. Or a few.
Upside down and inside out. I'm about to show all you folks what it's all about. Now it's time for us to get on the mic and make this motherfucking party hot. I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you want to get down, I'm going to show you the way. There it is. Let me hear you say.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to present the There It Is Jake segment on the Gal for All Seasons show. You with me, Jake?
I'm loving it. I got my own theme. I got my own entrance music. I love it.
I didn't think it was going to be in there, so I was actually going to sing it myself. So thanks, you lucky star. You didn't have to hear that. But this is my friend, everyone, Jake Stevens from the There It Is Jake site, and There It Is Jake on Twitter. How are you?
Oh, I am fine and dandy, especially as I
watch Brian Cashman age right before my eyes, talking before Game 4, which hopefully will be the final game of the ALCS.
Oh, hey, from your lips to the baseball god's ears, first I just wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday and anniversary.
So
it was
much.
Yesterday. For you guys, but you know what, let's just hop right into it. I'm sure that you were listening to Sully. We got a little sidetracked talking about the Nationals and the Yankees. But then you know, this week your Cheers and Booze column, we're gonna jump right into the football segment. You know, the interesting news is that, you know, I guess our Jets aren't as bad as we thought they were. They're in a dead heat, tied for first and yet last in the AFC East. And then you know, on Monday, I guess the biggest boo of them all was the Milwaukee Racing Sausage lookalike Peyton Manning showed the San Diego Chargers a glimpse of what it's like to take a team to church. So go for it, Jake.
The Milwaukee Sausage Race lookalike.
Doesn't he look like it? Seriously, he looks like the hot dog. I'm telling you, take a look at it next time. You're going to see a lookalike from the Indianapolis Colts days.
I will have to take a look. That's absolutely hilarious. But, yeah, Coop, I tell you right now, I said this after last – look, when the Jets played on Monday night against Houston, in the first drive of the game, Houston went down the field, and I thought, this is really going to be even worse than I thought it was. And then the Jets' defense actually came alive, and the Jets' defense played like a unit that actually cared, it seemed like, for the first time all season. And I said to other people, because we didn't have a chance for you to have a show last week, I said to other people, if the Jets' defense plays like they did on Monday night, this team – will make a playoff spot. They'll have a shot to make a wild card. Because if the defense plays mediocre comparatively, instead of just terrible, if they play decent, then the Jets offense won't have to score 30 points a game, which they're not capable of doing on a regular basis. This past week, the Jets defense played pretty well, and the Jets offense played well enough, and that team got itself another win. I know it was against the Colts, but you can only line up against the teams you play. This week will be very interesting going up into Foxborough and playing the Pats. That's a Pats team that has not played well all year long. That's a Pats team whose offensive line, amazingly enough, has completely morphed from a pass-blocking team and protecting Brady to a run-blocking team, where they seem to be able to open holes for the run game but don't seem to protect Brady all that well. On Sunday in the second half against the Seahawks, they did neither, and Brady got punished, and the running game got slowed down. And I think this is a winnable game for the Jets. Now, if they lose, though, it's not the end of the world. But this team, if that defense continues to play like they did, they will have a fighting chance. And if they continue to mix it up offensively, and I said this when Santonio Holmes went down, people said, oh, no, they lost their best player on offense. And I said, oh, yes, this is going to be addition by subtraction, because Sanchez won't have to worry about, you didn't throw the ball to me 20 times today, and therefore I have to go into the papers and rip on you and complain about you, and everybody needs to hate you because you didn't throw the ball to me. That's Santonio Holmes' style. So now the pressure is off in general, and the pressure is off because now they're not expected to do anything. I think they're going to thrive. I really do. And I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't bet on them winning this weekend, but I also wouldn't be surprised if the Jets' run defense plays well, that they can beat this Patriots team, especially if they can get out early, if the offense can do something early. And that's a wretched Patriots defense. But it's exciting. That, yeah, as you pointed out, they're at the top of the division. They're at the bottom of the division. I'll tell you this too, Coop. I think the best all-around team in the division, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, is the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. I mean, that's not saying much, but I hear you.
They're playing a rookie quarterback, and he's not great, but he's not terrible, and he's making some good plays, and that is a team that defensively gets after pretty darn well. I don't know that they can win the division, but I think they're the most balanced team, and I think they're set up for the future to be the best team in the division. I'll tell you that.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. So give us your thoughts on Monday night and that shit show.
I thought it was awesome because it was the perfect example of a team having a player that they can believe in and taking advantage of getting some breaks. The Denver Broncos got thoroughly outplayed in the first half. They had a wide receiver fall down on the way to a touchdown catch. Peyton Manning, a couple plays after that, threw an awful interception, whether it was his fault or the receiver's fault, either way, an ugly pick six. They just looked terrible, and they went into the locker room. Instead of a lot of teams in the NFL, which would just give up, they came out, got a drive for a touchdown, and then they got the break they needed. Phillip Rivers got drilled, fumbled, it was returned for a touchdown, and all of a sudden it was a game, and you could just feel the Chargers panicking. And then the Broncos absolutely did what you've seen Peyton Manning do before, which is move down the field no problem and take advantage of the situation. The defense came up big, started to really harass Phillip Rivers, and it was a beautiful thing. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, remember what a couple weeks ago when I said that the Bears maybe looked stupid because of the way they played against the Packers, but since then the Bears have actually done what I thought they were going to be able to do, which is kind of take control in their division and play as well as any team. And if they take care of business on Monday night against the Lions, they'll really be sitting pretty in that division. And then I look at the San Diego Chargers, who I thought would play better this year, but I said that the Denver Broncos were going to win the division. I got a whole bunch of eye rolls from people. But that team now is in perfect position to do it. And even if Peyton Manning's arm isn't what it used to be, and it's definitely not, I love people calling him the noodle arm, but he's good enough and he's smart enough to make enough plays where he doesn't have to throw it that far down the field, and he doesn't have to be perfect and squeezing stuff in. He'll find receivers that are open. And I think the Broncos are well on their way to a division title and a serious chance in the playoffs, because I've never seen a more mediocre conference than the AFC is this year. Are the Texans anything great? No. Are the Ravens anything great? No. Are the Steelers? Well, they're not even good right now. The Patriots are mediocre. So is the rest of the AFC East. So is the rest of the AFC South. So is the rest of the AFC North. So is the rest of the AFC West. There's no really good teams. I'll be shocked if one of the AFC teams wins the Super Bowl this year after what I've seen from the first 6 weeks.
And there it is, Jake. Well, you know, I'm going to let you kind of take the reins in the direction we want to go in. Do you want to continue and talk about the Eagles firing their defensive coordinator? Which, I mean, my Eagles fan friends, the five of them that I can tolerate, were up in arms about. Or do you want to talk about baseball?
Well, let me say one more quick thing, and then we can pop into baseball if you want.
Okay.
I love Andy Reid, and by saying I love Andy Reid, I mean I love that he tortures the Eagles fan base with his stupid. And now, that team, I am praying that they go 9-7 and squeeze into a playoff spot so the owner doesn't fire him. He is absolutely abysmal. Their offense is a mess. He has Michael Vick, who isn't the most accurate quarterback by any stretch, throwing 40 passes a game, getting drilled because his offensive line can't block for him. They're not giving the ball to LeSean McCoy, who is an all-world back that they give the ball about 15 times a game. And the defense played pretty well. And the offense, oh, yeah, they've committed 23 turnovers, 15 of them alone by Vick. And they fired the defensive coordinator who, oh, yeah, he hired him off the offensive line where he was to make him the defensive coordinator, even though it made no sense. And now that the unit is actually playing okay, but they're giving up at the end of games because they've been out there the whole game because the offense doesn't hold on to the football, it's his fault? That's so funny. You got to root for the Eagles to get into the playoffs. You got to. You just got to. Just absolutely beautiful. Absolutely love that. And I will say right now, the top three teams in football are the New York Giants. I can't believe I have to say that, but wow. The San Francisco 49ers, who the Giants aren't as good as they played Sunday, and the 49ers aren't as bad as they played Sunday. And the Chicago Bears, and then right behind them is are the Green Bay Packers. And I know, I'm leaving out the only undefeated team in the league, which would be the Atlanta Falcons. That team is a myth. They are beating up on all the dregs of the league, barely doing it. They keep winning games by the skin of their teeth. They should be 2-4 right now, and they're 6-0. And, yeah, if you win your games, that's what your record is. They're not going – I don't even think they're going to win their first-round playoff game like a couple of years ago. I wouldn't be shocked if they got bounced first round. Even if they don't get bounced first round, they're not going to the championship. They're not going to play in the Super Bowl unless something – massively changes on that team, especially on the defensive side. It's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen.
All right. Well, we only have about a minute left, so let's wrap up on that note. Tell us where we can find you.
You can find me at thereitisjake.com on the web. You can follow me on Twitter at thereitisjake. And, of course, you can find me celebrating somewhere tonight after the Yankees get swept by the Tigers. I'll be dancing around and yelling and screaming, and you can just listen out and hear me.
No? Okay. You know, and I'm sure you're not going to be the only one. And, you know, and my husband just emailed me and said that there is a threat of rain in Detroit. You know, that could possibly any kind of long rain delay will have them doomed since they're putting their ace out on the mound tonight. So we'll see how that goes, but here's hoping. All right, Jake, buddy, you're a great guest as usual. Can't wait to talk to you again on the show, hopefully next week, unless things blow up. But again, thank you for coming on the show.
I appreciate it, and it'll be nothing better than to see CC Fat Bathia looking like a drowned rat out on the mound while the Tigers pummel him tonight.
Here's hoping. All right, man. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Coop. Thanks for having me.
All right. And you're listening to the Gal for All Seasons here on NZB Media Sports and Blog Talk Radio. We're out of time. Please join me next week. Same bat time, same bat place. Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your hostess, Taryn the Coop Cooper. You can find me at galforallseasons.com. You can also find me at Coops22, COOPZ22 on Twitter. And thanks, everyone. Have a good night.